Good morning. The title of my topic is modeling rainfall induced release of manure constituents from surface applied liquid dairy manure. And I would like to acknowledge my co-authors Jakub Pachevsky and Daniel Shelton from USDARS Environmental Microbial and Safety Lab. So in this topic, I will be talking about new experiments of release of manure constituents from surface applied manure. I will discuss release models and explain how to select this model and show results of calibration validation. Also, I will look at uncertainty and variability of parameters and prediction errors, and look close at factors affecting parameter values. Are release models are really important for our modeling? Well, if we don't know release concentrations and release model, how we can predict accurately overland transport of any chemicals which can be released from manure and specifically pathogenic bacterium? And indeed, many models existing now and used by EPA or any other agencies use release in any form. It may be a very simple linear relationship or just a fraction of total applied mass, or maybe some power function which we use in our canary sphere model. So let's look closer at these equations. So we just examined three equations. So one was proposed by Vadas and co-authors for inorganic phosphorus release, and it was very simple relationship. Another used in HSPF model for phosphorus and fecal coliform release from soil or applied manure. And these both models can be transformed as into relationship between concentration of released material versus time and time. And one more model we work with is Bradford and Shiven model, designed for release of Cryptosporidium and Giardia from surface-applied manure. These models have variables and parameters, and variables in this equation is initial concentration in the applied manure, CO0, volume of manure, rainfall intensity or irrigation, and time, and parameters A, B. Here we have only one parameter, K, and Bradford and Shiven model use two parameters, alpha and beta. So what we found that due to one parameter, HSPF model doesn't do good job in prediction of bacterial release. This model had correlated parameters A and B, so it's really difficult to estimate these parameters separately. And Bradford model has independent parameter alpha and beta. So what is the implementation of this model? So we used Bradford and Shiven model to simulate a release of fecal coliforms from surface applied manure and runoff plot experiment conducted in Lazimeters in Beltsville, its USDARS facility. So we used canary sphere model, which accounts, which includes this equation, and count for release and kinetic of release. And in spite of large difference of release concentrations from in all these experiments, the model did pretty decent job in describing experimental data. Another application is field scale modeling, when manure was broadcasted at large area and fecal coliform were measured in the flume installed at the edge of the field and measured during runoff events. Again, we use the same equation with canary and sphere model. And in two runoff events, a model described pretty well concentration of relative concentration of fecal coliform in runoff water. So if this model does so good job, why are we still thinking about improvement of this model? The reason is this model cannot describe a different recovery of released material. So in our runoff plot experiments, recovery was about 80% in the on the bare plots, and only about 30%, it's red and yellow bars in vegetated experiments for almost all components released from the manure. So to look deeper into this process, we conducted new experiments. So we ran six new run-of-box experiments. And we look at E. coli, enteric oxi, chloride, bromide, organic phosphorus, and total phosphorus in the manure released from small plots. So irrigation rates in this application were in the range between roughly 3 and 7 centimeters per day. The plots were irrigated during 1.5 hours, and manure application was 1.2 centimeters. Almost the same experiments were conducted before on runoff plots with vegetation and without vegetation, with different soil texture. And slope in the runoff boxes was only 5%, while in runoff plot experiments we had 20%. So let's look at these results. So we can see that release expresses relative concentration of components, manure components, was different in all six runoff box experiments. And condition was pretty similar in all these experiments. What is interesting is that each component had an individual release curve. And generally, small concentrations were observed for bromide, its blue diamonds, and for enteric oxi, and the largest concentration for E. coli and chloride. So let's look at recovery. Well, recovery was different. It was almost 50% for E. coli, chloride, organic phosphorus, total phosphorus, and much less for bromide and enteric oxi. We can see also high variability of recovery in all these six experiments. So these results of runoff plot experiments. Again, we can see that each component, manure component, has individual release curve. And release was much faster in clay loam plots, so we can see really fast decline in concentrations compared to vegetated plots. And again, if we look at recovery, so recovery never been 100%. It was about 80% for bare plots and about only 40% for vegetated plots. So is it possible to count different for different recovery in our model? Let's look one more time at Bredfield-Shiven model. So if we will integrate this equation, so we will get relationship between relative mass released over time, T, and time. So once time approaches infinity, release mass approaches 1. That means that basically all material will be released over time. So actually in our experiments we've seen different things. So yes, these components can be released with runoff and infiltration. But before or during this release, part of the material can be intaken by soil. So that means that not all material can be released with runoff. Is it possible to count incomplete release using this model? Well, Bredfield-Shiven model says that there are two more parameters. M accounts for initial fraction of released material in the manure, which is constant. And E is kind of partitioning or linear adsorption experiment, which partition components, manure component, between liquid and solid phase, which is really difficult to estimate during any kind of experiment. So how to resolve this issue? Okay, we will assume that fraction of material, like chloride, E. coli in manure, decrease over time. We can use rational function or we can use exponential function. And integration of this equation will give us a couple of nasty equations. Well, if we don't want to solve these equations, and we still want to work with this equation, and we assume that Mi is constant, and this is initial fraction of components in manure. So we have parameter E here. And with time increasing, this left part approaches E value, which now can be interpreted as total released fraction from the plate manure. So this is example of fit of this equation to runoff box experiment. And we can see really good agreement. for all components. And now parameter alpha and beta accounts for release on manure. So it's the same for all manure components. And parameter E accounts for different fractions which can be released from these components. And we had good job in predicting concentration using this equation. So let's look at uncertainty of these parameters. So we fitted some equation for each runoff experiment separately, and we've seen high variability, almost one order of magnitude of variability parameter beta. But variability of E parameter was really small. So minimum values were obtained for bromide and for enteric oxide, and larger value for E color and total phosphorus. So what is uncertainty of this parameter? So we split the whole data set into two. So three runoff boxes were selected for model calibration and another three for normal validation. So if we have only six boxes, so we have 20 realizations. So we found all the parameter alpha and beta for all these 20 realizations, and we found that variability of this parameter are really small. We found that there's a big difference between parameter E for different manure components, but variability of these components for calibration was very low. Surprisingly, error relation between calibration and validation error was different for different components. So smallest value were attained for bromide and highest for chloride. Why it happened? So if you look at variability of parameter E in individual feed, so it was maximum for chloride and smallest for bromide. That's probably caused this high variability and error, predictive error. So one more issue, which factors affected this parameter E? So we use the same equation to fit our experimental data in a runoff plot. And we've seen that major factor affecting parameter E was vegetation. So on vegetated plots, we always had smaller value of parameter E for all manure components compared to bare plots. And probably reason for that is saturated hydraulic conductivity. So vegetation altered saturated hydraulic conductivity in the way that it was highest in vegetated plots. We also found that soil texture also affected parameter E, but this effect was screened by vegetation. So why release is so different for different manure components? Manure is not a uniform composition. So in manure, in raw manure, a fraction of 100 micron dominates. So over time with runoff, we can see the distribution changed and domination of fraction of 5 we can see in final time. So we assume that different manure components have different affiliations with different soil manure particles. That's why we have different E values. So I don't have time for conclusion. I'm sorry, so you can read it. Thank you for attention.
So what you're saying, I would expect bromide and chloride to look very similar, mm-hmm. But it appears that you're suggesting that they're perhaps associated with different particle sizes distributed through the manure slurry. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I couldn't say it for chloride and bromide because chloride was native for manure and bromide was added as a tracer. Yeah. So there is, but for E. coli and for enteric oxide and for phosphorus, we could expect it.